Hello everyone, good evening and welcome to The Pinken Show, our dedicated Canary Shenanigans that was definitely distracted for at least 90 minutes on Saturday. I am Michael Bailey. We are here at the lovely and lively Woolpack Public House in the centre of Norwich. We are live and over the next 30 minutes or so, we will discuss City's latest FA Cup folly, discuss Todd's hair and makeup, wonder if the January transfer window is really for us, angry tweets and get ready to go boing. There is also the rest of the current championship picture and another round of Flip the Bird, and we will do all that with the wonderful duo of guests we have tonight: East Anglian sports broadcasting legend Kevin Piper and City supporter and occasional scribe Richard Jeffrey. Gentlemen, what a pleasure it is to have you both on. How are you doing? You both well?
Good, thank you. Yes, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, Michael. I'm slightly worried about echoes of a misspent youth coming back into the mighty Woolpack, but enough said about that at this moment in time, I think.
Yeah, well, it's the same with me, but I've got over it now. It took about 2 years, so hopefully we'll be all right. A pair of debuts as well. Rich, have you done anything like this? We didn't get you on. Did we get you on in the Muster Studio?
Muster Studio, yeah, once.
Yeah, you get back then, not a debut.
Very short.
It's a long time ago. Lots changed. No green screen anymore. Instead, look what we've got.
Round screen.
I know. It's all protected with plastic and perspex, so I think it's probably really valuable. Better not break it. Right, we are live at the moment, hopefully, all being well, on pinken.com, the Pinken Facebook page, Twitter, Periscope, and YouTube. And over the course of the show, we want to hear from you, be it on Grant Hanley's slight return, your inclusions for West Brom, and January transfer window posers, some of the weekend's Twitter reaction, but especially in light of the money Bolton owe Norwich City since taking Remy Matthews and Yannick Wilshere on loan. We'd like to know what you think Norwich should take in terms of interest payments. 3 points next month, of course, is probably the bare minimum. Now, you can get all of those into us here down the pub. Simply post your words below the feed, either on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, whichever. I will do my very best connection and connectivity withstanding to follow those and put them to our two delightful guests. Hopefully we'll be able to sort that out. Now, the best news we've had over the past week is the return of Onel Hernandez. I don't know where it went, but it's back, so that's good news. We've also got new Pinkham beer mats, which, given the efforts in Flip the Bird last week, do offer an aerodynamic and ergonomic advantage. You'll be pleased to know. So it has been a good few days for us. If you would like to do the honours, Rich, of that, just make sure you keep it down on the table because it's very loud.
Okay.
And we will probably scare a lot of people in this room.
What's that for?
Just wait, KP. Just wait. So it's fine. It's fine. It has been a good few days for us, thanks to finding Onel Hernandez. Beautiful. Let's turn to Wesley Moulahan and digest this week's headlines to see if it's been a good week for Norwich City. Well, I'm Rich. And at the end, it said, "We're out." My David Dimbleby impression. That would keep going, Rich. Lovely. Think gongs. Norwich City vote with their feet. 18 of them in the Portsmouth half in the last moments of injury time and avoid both an FA Cup replay and a spot in the fourth round. On the flip side, it really was a joy to see the Pompey fans get so excited about winning a visit from QPR. Ivor Pinto, Turkish delight. Works. Definitely works. No, it's not. Portuguese fullback in Turkey to assess permanent switch, a country where, given some of the atmosphere we get to see, the pitch war dream may well become more of a reality. Pay up, Bolton. Bolton, pay up. Remy Matthews is left to return to Norwich, with City owed almost 200 grand in wages for him and loanee Yannick Vilskut. Sadly for Wanderers, that's probably the least of their financial worries. And finally, oh my God, they thrilled Kenny. McLean returned for the Pompey game and will now hope to do similar in the league. If a few more injured bodies can return for Saturday, then City will start their tough championship run in a pretty decent place. It's just a shame Grant Hanley has another week off. Rich, top work. Well done. Thank you. You're now happy that was thoroughly worth it, Kevin?
Listen and learn. And there's nothing like a great script.
Yeah, and this is nothing like a great script. So that was it for the FA Cup again, gentlemen. And we're kind of used to it now. 6 years on the spin that Norwich have now gone out in the third round. Rich, your thoughts?
That's the representation of meh. Well, FA Cup, it's nice if you win, isn't it? I think particularly this season, we've got bigger fish to fry, as witnessed by the selection. as witnessed by the men, as you referred to, being thrown forward to try and nick a goal. We were trying to win it. At the same time, we weren't trying not to lose it. So I think everybody there was delighted that there was no replay. We can concentrate on what we need to do, and so can Portsmouth into the next round.
I mean, has that always been the case, that football clubs don't really want to replay? It feels like if any club in Norwich's situation would probably feel the same.
I understand the logic. I saw your tweet at the end of the game where it was kind of abject relief, I think, on your part. But that's because you didn't want to go down to Portsmouth, I guess. For me, I do subscribe to the theory that winning is a wonderful habit. You know, if you carry on winning, whether it's a championship or the cup, it just keeps that good feeling, keeps the momentum going. So I would like to see my football team contest every game, whether it's the Caribou Cup, the FA Cup, or the league, and attempt to win it. But in the circumstances that unfolded on Saturday, I do get that a draw was probably the worst outcome. So we'll take it and move on. And as they say, and have done for many, many years, concentrate on the league.
That is slightly surreal to think there are only league games now for the rest of the season, but there we go. I mean, there is a serious point as well in terms of Norwich have got quite a big squad, and you know, the players there, they're going to struggle to get game time, you'd have thought.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to slot some... I think Mr. Marshall's going to struggle to get game time, unless there's a lot more injuries, for example. Felt a bit sorry for him that, due to Hanley sending off, he had to switch to the left back, which I'm sure he wasn't envisaging having to show the manager what he could do from that position. But yeah, I think there's definitely a first team, first 11 in my mind anyway. Maybe a couple of places up for grabs in that. I think it's good for those players to get a run out that did, but let's get them all back, get them fit, and look towards the finish line.
This is where the manager now, again, cliche time, earns his money. He has got a strong squad. We've seen that with what's been achieved so far in the first half of the season. You need that strength in depth. When you're losing two or three key players, you need two or three others to come in, step up and maintain the quality across the piece.
And of course, we'll, you know what it's like, injuries, suspensions, everything kicks in. Grant Hanley, it seemed like he was just a bit overeager, really. He couldn't really... I know at the time people were like, well, that's unbelievable. Even I probably at first glance thought that's a long way out. But ultimately, there's no complaints. And now he has to serve his one-match ban.
Yeah, and no complaints, as you said. I think that was the kind of challenge. Another referee may not have sent him off. Might just have given a yellow. But you're right. The evidence was there. And you couldn't really complain about the fact that he's gone. Fortunately, Zimmerman's been playing extremely well at the back there with Closer. So yeah, we have got a bit of strength in depth.
I completely agree with that. So who shone, who missed their chance, do you think? Because obviously it was a completely kind of different 11. Did anyone impress you, Rich?
I'll be honest, I wasn't at the game. Oh. So I'm just going from the highlights. As I mentioned Marshall, I felt sorry for him because he is a good player. He had a great second half of the season on loan at Millwall last year, created a lot of chances and scored them. For one reason or another, injuries and other players doing really well, he's not had a chance here. Seems that might almost be the end of his time with us. Perhaps he'll go out on loan. So
indeed. Can I ask, was it just a commitment or did you actively choose not to go to a cup game? Because it's just an interesting debate, isn't it?
I actively chose not to go. Post Christmas, my son's birthday was that weekend. So yeah, we decided against.
Son's birthday is a good reason. I'll take that one. KP, anyone impress you?
A bit of everything. I have to say the same. I was unable to go. I don't miss too many games when I'm in the fair city. But so I have to defer to the judgment of eight reporters like yourself, irrespective of what certain Portsmouth fans have said on Twitter. I know we'll come to that later. But no, I wasn't at the game, so I can only go by what you said.
Kenny, I'll just tell you. Kenny, we'll see how Kenny gets on. Was there anything that caught your eye from elsewhere in the FA Cup? Because this is probably the last mention we'll ever give it. Other results? I mean, I've got Accrington ? And Newport ? Here.
I can't imagine why you've mentioned particularly Accrington. So. But to come back to the earlier point about teams taking it seriously, I'm delighted that some of the big clubs, some of the top, Pep saying we want to win this, we want to go on and win this, and they've put out, to all intents and purposes, if not the strongest, a strong 11. So I'm pleased, and I'm also pleased there was an element of the magic of the cup coming back into the mix with a vengeance, with quite a few giant killings. And you try telling those guys at Newport, you know, that it isn't still a fantastic competition. They've enjoyed that and they will dine out on that for weeks, months and years to come.
100%. Right, let's see if we can get some of your messages. We've got quite a busy pub, which doesn't really bode well for connectivity, but we will press on. So let's have a look. David McKenzie, good evening. I hope you're all well. How many points would you say is good haul over the next 5 games, gentlemen? We're going to talk about those 5 games in a bit. So, but as a rough...
Well, the next 4 are tough.
Damning indictment.
And the 5th one is one of those that if the form book goes out the window, it could be tough. I think we need to be in touch with the top 2 after these 4 games. After these 4 games, we have 16 left. I'm trying to remember my tweet from earlier. Only one of which of those 16 is against a team in the top 6, and that's Borough away. And only 3 others are against teams in the top half. The rest of the games, 11 games, are... Sorry, 4 are against teams in the top half. The other 11 games are against teams in the bottom half. We know how well we've done against those teams so far this season.
You've done your homework, that's good. I mean, simple answer to that is 2 points a game, you will win something, irrespective of who you're playing against. But my point would be, when you're looking at West Bromwich Albion and Sheffield United, was it Paul Lambert who said, you have mini leagues, you know, the important win games not to lose, and therefore to win ideally, are the teams among you. If there's been one downside to this season so far, it is that 4 of our defeats have come against 4 of the top 6. So, you know, let's make sure we get at least a point at West Brom to maintain that differential. Sheffield United, we've got to go out to beat them. And why not? Look at the form so far this season. So I would say, from the next 5 games, 10 points, I'll be very happy, thank you.
Great point, KP. Craig Moore says 9 points he'd like. Joshua Reynolds, Honourable City, can't wait for West Brom away on Saturday. We're coming for 3 points. That's the way, Joshua. Love that. Let's have a look. Dan Mayhew. He's trying to make a joke and I can't read it in time. Sorry, Dan. It's really sad that this happened at Bolton and just shows how... All right, Owen Young, let's be honest. Time for this old chestnut. Concentrate on the league, lads. Owen's in your camp. Love that, KP. And Neil Luther's asked where my flat cap Peaky Blinder is. I left it in the office. Neil, I did bring it. I wore it on the radio thinking no one would notice. But, of course, people take pictures now when you do things. I took a picture. So it's my own fault, really. But there we go. More of those. That was YouTube. Keep them coming in wherever you're watching us. And I'll try and keep abreast of all those. Now, it is fair to say, and I think Mr. Piper touched on it a moment ago, that despite earning their victory and receiving praise, from myself included, the Fadlet lead one leaders, Portsmouth, were a little disappointed. Pointing against 10 men at Carrow Road was not what a lot of the Pompey fans wanted to hear, and it led to a lively few days on Twitter, hence why we, Tony, has done this. So welcome to our first angry tweets. It might be the only one we ever do. Our new guy, Tony, decided it might be quite amusing if, having had quite a lively weekend on social media after Norwich lost to Portsmouth, I could maybe read out some tweets to share the love around. So fortunately Tony's got me to do that here and now, so here we go. Their fans must feel like they've won the FA Cup again. Are you on mind-altering drugs? You're only a championship team and it's only the 3rd round. I'm not on mind-altering drugs, I'm very tired, it's kids. Thanks, Mary. Eddie Broadbent at Eddie Broadbent. Have you ever played What an You Are? You've got done now, jog on. Hashtag complete. Now I have to say, Eddie, I said this at the time, brilliant hashtag. Tom Clark. Hashtag salty. No gif. You've let yourself down there, Tom. Everyone else was sending me a gif with salt. I guess it's probably harder to do a gif with bitter. John Walters, maybe the John Walters. A bit petty from a brackets presumably professional journalist. I've got to be honest, John, I've been called far worse than that actually in the last tweet, but yeah, point taken. Last one. Tim McGuinness at One Pompey Tim. I imagine there might be more actually. Michael Bailey. Wow. We're beeping that one, aren't we, Tony? Yeah, we're beeping that one. Again, probably been called worse, but you know what? Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for your tweet. Well, you know, it all comes with the territory. It's all good. It's all football. All part of the fun. Fortunately, I'm off for the Sheffield United game, given what they tweeted me a couple of years ago. It's probably a good thing. We go to the Hawthorns in hope and expectation, and maybe more angry tweets.
And I'm sure we all wish Portsmouth all the very best for the rest of the season. Yes. But before we move on, can I apologise to Dan, because Dan Mayhew, now I've had a chance to actually read what you were saying. I understand you've actually answered my question, which was, of course, what was the interest that Bolton should have to pay Norwich for not paying the money they owe in loans to? Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not the most simple question, so I've kind of done myself over there. But Dan, thank you for the point. So in which case it says, Norwich should charge either 5% per week or let's go for a day rate of 160%. All joking aside, it's really sad that this has happened to Bolton and just shows how well our club is run, and what's been occurring lately at Norwich City is vital and important. And there were some cracking stats as well about the makeup of the championship as well, which kind of made your eyes water in terms of so many of the championship clubs just being bankrolled with no possible hope of everyone getting their money back.
And further to that, today was the same Swiss Ramble guy on Twitter released a thread about Birmingham City's accounts. Their owner's going to have to put in another £39 million this year to keep them as a going concern. And even with that in mind, the administrators or the auditors are expressing their concern about whether they're actually a viable business.
At the same time, of course, that certain teams are paying 70-odd million pounds to buy goalkeepers. Many people have discussed this many times, and they will do from here to eternity, but something's wrong with the whole fabric of the sport when you've got teams struggling to pay for loan players, as we're finding out, and yet, you know, money is swashing about, splashing about, like it's going out of fashion at the top level. One day, perhaps, somebody, somewhere, will get to grips with it. Probably not in the near future, though.
Absolutely not. What a load to get to grips with in the first place. Okay, so moving on, gents. Completely unrelated to finances. January, in the transfer window. Okay, so I did want to ask if anything caught your eye in terms of Norwich. I mean, it's worth saying and putting this out there, I do not think Norwich are going to do any business this window, certainly first team business. Might be different with the 23s, but they just don't think there's an appetite and probably not a need.
You don't think, or you don't hope, or a bit of both? I certainly don't think there is any need or particular appetite to bring in, like you, and I saw what you said about young Max Ahrens. Yeah, we've just got to hope. I don't think it's in anybody's interests for any of our youngsters to move on now. I would say that, wouldn't I? Because I'm a big fan of what they're doing and their huge potential. But I don't think it's in their benefit either. You know, let's get to the summer at least, and the prospects of Premier League football. The future right here and right now for those young lads should be right here, right now, and in the immediate future.
Yeah, I don't think we need to. We've proven with the injury crisis we have had, and it has been a bit of a crisis, as we mentioned earlier, the squad's strong enough. We've got those young lads that have come in and done brilliantly, done everything that's been asked of them. Let's not stunt their progress. I don't think we want to risk upsetting the team dynamic. It's very strong. I think Mr. Weber's probably got some irons in the fire with maybe a player like a Buendia type deal for the future, which has been a stunning piece of business. But I don't think we need to spend anything big in this window.
Good-o. Let's hope that, I'm sure that will happen. Other way though, I mean, Ivo Pinto, he is reportedly, and I believe, in Turkey to possibly sort out a permanent switch to Rizespor, of course famed for Carl Lafferty's loan a few years ago, if we remember that one. It's kind of been a bit of a shame for Pinto. He's kind of been sort of ironed out of it completely, hasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. And a guy who plays with his heart on his sleeve, you never could criticise him for a lack of effort or ambition or endeavour. And not a bad footballer. And maybe a little bit unlucky to be on the sidelines, as it were. But probably for him right now, looking at the way the squad is unfolding, the way that Max has come through, and other, you know, Ben Godfrey, it's probably not a bad time for him to move on if he's got the opportunity.
Indeed. We could talk about Nelson Oliveira, but it almost seems not worth it because nothing's really happened, and we all know where everyone is on that. Ben Marshall's been brought up as well. I think you may have seen the line from the press down in the Birmingham end this evening, that they believe that Ben Marshall won't be moved on or sold this window, which I would have to say I agree, because let's be honest, if Ben Marshall goes, they've got a bit of a homegrown crisis on their hands.
Yeah, that's the other issue with the squad, isn't it? I think it might have been your podcast I was listening to this morning.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Plugging, company man, that mentioned that Kenny McLean obviously is not a homegrown player because he's Scottish. Whereas Krull is, because he was at Newcastle since he was 18.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Right, you have to run that by me again a little bit later.
Will do. It seems bonkers, but them's the rules. Yeah. And we're short of homegrown players, so as you say, Marshall is one, can't see him going anywhere.
I have to say, having seen both the Premier League and EFL rules, I think the Premier League rules make more sense, to be honest, and I didn't really feel that beforehand, but there we go. Right, let's go through some questions on Facebook, because I've managed to update that feed, so that's good. Lorn Smybert, his first message, just think where people are watching this from, like the bath or toilet, lol. Thanks, Lorn. Really appreciate that. any truth in the Turkish player coming in, and do you think we will sell anyone? I don't think the Turkish guy is going to be coming in this window, if at all. I think Norwich are kind of being funneled into some of these rumours to help deals happen, such as William Remy. So there we go. What else have we got here? Carl Jockett. I hope I've got that right. Carl, what is happening about Sean Raggett? He, of course, got to come on against Manchester City, didn't he? I saw him walking around with a shirt in his hand.
He did very well, because they were 5-0 down when he came on and they only lost 7-0, so he obviously shored the defence up somewhat when he came on.
And what an experience for him as well.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed, indeed.
Okay, so what else? Barry Taylor says hello from Great Falls, Virginia, VA, USA.
Yeah. Hello, I was there in October.
Really?
Yeah, big hello. Holiday dropping.
From wet and windy Norfolk.
Well, Carl also says, please no more Flip the Bird, which is the second message I've had today saying don't play that stupid bar mats game. So you'll be pleased to know it's coming up in a minute.
Well, I was going to say, having practice, can I concur with that?
Yeah.
No, you can't. And David Whitby, here we go. Does Dennis Shrabeni need to go out on loan or keep him as third choice? Only way to improve is minutes on the pitch.
I think he's looked really good when he's come on every time. He's not Pookie, he's not Rhodes, but he is a big, strong lad. His finishing's not the best, but he's got a good touch. He plays for the team well, links up with the other players well. Keep him, let him come on when he comes on. Great.
I refer to my earlier point, Your Lordship. You know, we need a bit of strength in depth. Pookie, brilliant when he's on fire, but you know, God forbid he gets an injury or a knock. I know we've got Jordan Rhodes, but we need a bit more strength in depth, two or three stages down the line. So he has to stay right here and right now, as far as I'm concerned.
He did struggle a bit on Saturday, but you know, wasn't the league, so it didn't matter. Top stuff, gents. Top stuff for the messages. Keep them coming in. We'll get through as many of them as we can. But I think, it's time for this, isn't it? Yes, it's the game everyone's slagging off. The game that is yet to require injury time, but we're not ruling it out. It is Flip the Bird. Last time out, Dave Freezer took himself to the next level with an excellent 9. Don't talk to Dave about enjoying Flip the Bird. He loved it. While Alex Ware, KP heard the word 9 and got a bit twitchy then. Alex Ware matched his 5 from last season. So tonight, both KP and Rich are making their Flip the Bird bows, which means we could get anything. Literally, we could get anything. In short, the guys have 30 seconds to flip as many bar mats as possible, adding one to their flipping pile with each successful one-handed catch. Both scores will find their way onto our leaderboard, while the winner tonight will get a much prized selfie with Wesley Moulahan, as will the loser. That's just how we roll. Danny, ready? Looks ready. Tony's got his special camera out, so that's exciting. You need your bar mats, don't we? Sorry, gents. There we go. There's your pile. Look at you. Very relaxed. Almost borderline apathetic about this. Are you ready? Dan's ready. At the same time, KP. Oh, Dan, harsh! Dan was not hanging around. Then he put the pressure on. But of course, KP, an esteemed television professional, there's no such thing as pressure when you've been doing a job like that so well for so long. But that Rich is just ticking on, and he's counting them as he goes along. He's resplendent in his Norwich pin badge there, which, by the way, Wesley Moulahan taking a shine to that pin badge. However many is there?
Six.
Well done for counting. That was good. 5, 6. Yeah, go. Not yet. Dan's still counting, but KP's. There's a lot of spilling of piles. I think it's because the new beer mat piles are brand new. We are done on time. Miraculous and remarkable scenes, and some two pretty hefty, decent piles. Four. There's more than four. KP. What was that? How many did you drop?
I dropped a 5. So I didn't clear a 5.
That's okay, though, because you had the pile and then you'd have added to it. So you're going to have at least five. And then how many did you do after the pile? Well, let's call it six. KP gets a six.
Seven for me.
No one cares about the game, so Kevin's going to care about the scores. Well, you'd have had to have kept flipping them, KP. But, you know, a six and a five. Rich probably feels a bit hard done by that you've lost that. Seven and six.
I cannot claim victory under any circumstances there.
I think that would have been pushing it. But a six and a seven, that's a good debut
effort.
That's
not bad. Well done, Kevin.
You're enjoying it, weren't you?
Oh, well, I think I found my vocation, yeah.
Well, sorry to tell the children.
Exactly. So you'll go on our leaderboards, gents, that's the great news, and continue to be enthralled by our watching public, which is all good. Right, shall we run the old sting again, Dan? Yeah. Maybe we'll come up with a different game at some point. Dizzy Penalties was always good, so maybe we'll do that. So, as we go to the trouble to get these guests in, it seems only right that we get to spend a little bit of QT with them about what they're doing. So, Kevin, what are you up to these days?
Good question. I'm now chasing rally cars around the world, and the giveaway...
You have to be quick for that.
You have to be extremely quick. World Rally Championship. I am editor-in-chief, it says, down the bottom there.
Love it.
For the promoter and coverage of World Rally. So basically, we provide all of the footage, all the action for broadcasters around the world. So quite nice. It takes us to some glamorous places, not so glamorous places. We start with Rally Monte Carlo in a couple of weeks. Don't get too close to Monte Carlo, I hasten to add.
Oh, no.
In fact, the place we go is more like a combination of Milton Keynes meets... dare I say King's Lynn?
Yes. Okay.
But it's a great sport. It doesn't have the profile of Formula One or indeed football in this country, but the action is fantastic, and it's nice to be a part of it and see a bit of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've always been a big motorsport fan as well, yeah. From when you've all come through and what you've done. Is there something you're most proud of that you've done in your career up to this point? I know it's not over.
In my career? Cool, that's a very good...
I just think we've all seen your face so much, yeah. To be honest. And, you know, you're on videos from back in the day and Norwich City coverage and of course, working with Anglia.
I think that's a very good question. I don't want to be too serious and heavy about it, but, you know, my career started just around the corner at Eastern Counties Newspapers, which you will now know as Archant. In fact, before that, I was delivering the Pinkin, or picking up the Pinkin, as it was being... printed out of the back of the printers there and taking it up to Hall Road, where it was a very popular newspaper every week after the game. So I think what I am proud of, now that you come to ask, is I started delivering and then was lucky enough to get into the press and worked as a reporter and got into the sports department, then went into radio, then went into television. So having done all key three forms of the traditional media, print, radio and television, I'm quite proud that and throwing in Gunny's autobiography, which was a bit of a chore at the time. He couldn't remember what he'd had for breakfast yesterday, let alone his life story. No, I mean, joking aside, it's and I've met some wonderful sports men and women and athletes, and been lucky enough to it's not a job really, is it? I mean, it really isn't a job. You're kind of doing what you wish you could do for a living as a professional yourself. So I'm just proud of the fact I've kind of transcended the various different elements of it, and I'm still here to tell the story.
You are. Fantastic stuff too. Would you have liked to have worked in those jobs now, given, you know, all of the digital age and that it's more than traditional media?
Do you know what? I would love to say instantly yes, but I think history will judge this period. Look at the hassle and the stick you get. All the good points about instant news. That's fantastic. That's why I'm on Twitter, because you can keep up to date and up to speed with things literally in an instant. But I think all the baggage that comes with that, it's a bit too personal, a bit too disparate. I'm not sure I would, I'm not sure I would. We had great times back in the day. It's easy to look back with rose-tinted spectacles, but I think I'm very happy that I've managed to work in that more traditional, evolving era. I'm not too worried about having missed out quite a bit of what it's all about now.
Fair point. One more. When you were with ITV Anglia and doing the sports presenting, all this stuff, you're a Norwich City fan.
Yes.
So how hard was that? Was it much? You obviously had to play it incredibly straight. And did you not tell anyone? Did you keep it a secret? Or how did you play it? Because I guess that's kind of feels a bit different now as well.
It's a great story. I mean, basically, yes, we prided ourselves on being absolutely neutral, but it didn't work. Because wherever you go, wherever you were, I've been abused here at Carrow Road for apparently being an absolute dyed-in-the-wool Ipswich Town fan. Equally, I've been more than abused down at Portman Road for being a Norwich City supporter. I've even been to Cambridge and told to go away because I'm a Peterborough United fan. You know, that comes with the territory. I have to say, I had to put a fan right when I took my lad to Forest on one Boxing Day, and a female Norwich fan came up to me and gave me stick. For, you know, what right did I have to be there? Because I'm not a Norwich fan. I put her right because I felt, you know, as I said to her, I don't know how old you are, madam, but I've probably been supporting Norwich longer than you've been on this planet. Now, to her credit, she came up to me at the playoff final against Birmingham and apologised. But one final point on that. There was famously one weekend where I got a letter, genuinely, from a Norwich fan and an Ipswich fan accusing me, respectively, of being biased to the opposition. So I basically put them back in the other envelope, sent them back to each other and said, you sort it out, because either we're doing something right or wrong, but you can't have it both ways.
That's absolutely fantastic. What a story. Great to have you on, Kevin. Really appreciate you coming in. Rich, you've done some writing. The Little Yellow Bird podcast project, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That Dan Brigham and John Rogers did. Yeah. And it was brilliant. They started off well. And we've obviously got so many others that have come through now, along come Norwich and to Norwich City and the Barclay project. I mean, I like to think of the Little Yellow Bird project as the vanguard of fans interaction and sites.
Say so. I think My Football Writer was the sort of first semi-fan led site. Obviously that was a professional journalist that started it.
That's Rick.
Yep. Rick, okay. Yeah. Back in the day. Yep. And still going strong with Gary as the editor. I think Dan and John certainly were slightly different to that, and they were the first to start something that was a little bit more fan oriented and fan run, shall we say. Not that you're not a fan, Gary, sorry.
It's walking on eggshells, you can tell. For our Rich, I've just put you on a big old spot.
But yeah, it's gone on great, and I'm wearing the badge that is produced by the Along Come Norwich guys and the Barclay End Project guys. The money raised from these goes towards buying the flags and the displays that they're doing, which I unfortunately can't see because I sit in the upper Barclay, so I can't see them. But obviously,
River End next.
There you go. So I see photos of them; they look fantastic. The work they're doing to try and get the atmosphere going is fantastic. So, yeah, I think that's a really positive thing that's come out of it all, definitely.
Sorry to interrupt. May I say, that's the upside of the explosion of social media. Everybody can now do what you're doing, good work, funny work, humorous work, and be more included in the whole piece.
But the great thing is that doesn't... social media has that bubble, but for it to actually filter in and have it's a visible, clear and positive impact at Carrow Road is phenomenal. You should start writing for them.
Well, they have asked, but no money's involved, so obviously no.
That's not the fan ethos.
We've dug our flags out of the attic on the back of this initiative. We've got the flags out ready to go.
I love it. Brilliant stuff. Well, I hope you do start writing, Cambridge, because I like your stuff, so get back on it. Right, so where are we? I know, it's a championship refresh. We missed this for a while. Here, you can have the slides, gents. There you go. No more Flip the Bird. Don't worry. There's sighs of relief across the pub. So although it was all about the FA Cup, of course, over the weekend, it is time to remind ourselves of the championship picture and how it looks as we return it to the forefront of our minds. Ipswich are marooned at the foot of the table, although they have been busying themselves in January with a few interesting signings. It doesn't change the fact that no side has survived after such a paltry points tally so far into the season. Paul Lambert has his work cut out. Reading also look in trouble, while Bolton's survival mission now extends to off the pitch as well as on it. As for the top half, Norwich are still in the top two, as you'd expect, because no one's played. And they return to action with a mouthwatering clash at West Bromwich Albion before facing Birmingham and Sheffield United at home, and then Leeds away in an extremely tough run of fixtures. Aside from the Hawthorns, Friday night should be a corker. Ipswich surely have to win again at home to Rotherham. Sean Raggett, do your thing. Steve Bruce doesn't take charge of Sheffield Wednesday until February, but new Stoke boss Nathan Jones, appointed today from Luton, will be watching on, no doubt, at Griffin Park. We are starting to see a few managerial changes. Nathan Jones, highly rated. I know a lot of clubs have watched what he's done at Luton with admiring glasses. And I have to say, I'm surprised he's ended up at Stoke.
Well, and the timing, because, you know, Luton, for all the problems they've had over the past, 10, 15 years, always had a soft spot, again, going back to my Anglia television days.
Biased.
There we are. You bang to right. But yeah, seeing them come through, and you just wonder if that's now going to affect their kind of momentum. Just have to mention Steve Bruce. That must just about complete the set, isn't it? I mean, he must have done every club in the Championship now.
I just assumed he'd managed there before, to be honest.
Well, every chance, but there we are. He's got a bit of a reputation for getting clubs out of this division.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not such a bad move for Sheffield Wednesday.
It's a curious time, isn't it? You can see a few clubs starting to get twitchy. We've obviously got the ongoing rumours at Forest about Karanka as well.
I mean, the Steve Bruce thing, that's so tedious, isn't it? Steve Bruce. Oh, he's gone to Sheffield Wednesday now, as you said. Complete the set. Stoke.
Not his fault he's been sacked at some of those clubs, though.
Well, no. I'm sure he's done
well
out of it.
Been offered a job.
And I love him because of what he did in 1985. Yeah. But Stoke were rumoured to be looking at Moyes, which I thought, oh, God, the same managers keep getting these jobs. It's quite exciting, refreshing that they've gone for Nathan Jones. Mm. And we've got an exciting management team and structure. It's good that they've looked to someone younger to come in with a different, fresh set of ideas. Allardyce, all those managers, come on guys, you've had your knock, let's give some young guys a chance.
We have got an exciting structure now, but it took a while, didn't it? It took a while to persuade the doubters. That first season when, you know, what have we done, where are we going, what's happening? One or two voices from the past raising an observation at the end of the season. But stick with it, and I think we've got something very, very special here. May not get promoted this year. I think minimum we will make the playoffs. Maybe come to that a bit later, but the momentum is going in the right way.
The interesting bit about the sort of, I guess, education process that's gone on at Carrow Road is you see Norwich playing at the back now. No one really bats an eyelid, but the opposition fans will go, oh, and they're all really twitchy because clearly, like Bolton, it was like, oh, they keep playing it, messing around with it at the back. And it's like, no, literally, it happens every week. It's fine. We talked about Norwich in January. How do you feel about the other clubs in January? Because they are going to spend money and they are going to be busy, and they already are, some of them. Does it matter?
I don't think it does. You can overanalyze. Like, you're looking at West Brom. Oh, is Rodriguez, is his red card been rescinded? Is Gale fit?
That's half my tweets there, Rich.
Sorry. but you can worry too much about them. Let them worry about us. Yeah. We're a good side. We're a second because we deserve to be. Yeah. It's not for five games. It's after over half the season's done. We're a good side. We can go to Leeds and win. We can go to West Brom and win. We can beat Sheffield United at home, and we can beat Burn. We could win all four. That'd be dreamland.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
The wonder of the Championship, which is why, genuinely, I will say this here and now, and not everybody will like me for saying this, but you know what? This is where I started watching Norwich City in the second tier of English football. It wasn't called the Championship then, of course. I love the fact that it's competitive. You don't know if you're going to win. You don't know if you're going to get beaten. You're winning more than you're losing. I absolutely think this is as close a form of the pure football that football was created for as you're going to get. And it's competitive, and it's a good quality. Okay, I'm not going to complain if we get back to the Premier League, but you know what it's all about? It's clinging on. It's desperately trying to keep the score down against the top clubs. It becomes the big business again. And I, frankly, certainly in the previous past 6 or 7 years, I've enjoyed mostly the Championship football rather than the Premier League football. It's a bit of a dilemma. You want to get there, but is it as much fun? Discuss.
Indeed. What I would like to ask you guys, in terms of, we sort of brought this up on the Pinker podcast, I think, who is in the promotion, the top two race at the moment? Because you mentioned, Kevin, you know, Norwich are finishing in the playoffs, hopefully, which does kind of look on, that's what we all would imagine, just because of their points tally now. But who are they actually in a race for to finish in the top two?
In other words, who do I think are going to finish in the top two? I have to say, I'm going to sit slightly on the fence here. I think any one of six clubs at least can finish. Leeds, obviously. I wouldn't, you know, Frank Lampard's Derby. I think they might have given themselves a little bit too much to do, but Villa will come strong. Sheffield United, yeah. Any one of those, and West Brom, because they're still there, having got relegated last year. It would take a brave man or woman to put big money on predicting the top two. But what you have got in that top, obviously in that top six, seven clubs, that is your six at the end of the season, I would think, which is contradicting what I've just said about Aston Villa, of course. Yeah. But okay. I mean, what is it? There's 10 points between us and seventh. but not that many points between the top six now because of the way the results unfolded over Christmas. It's anyone's.
Okay, well, but you say that. You've knocked it down to six or seven, I reckon, for the top two, so that's good. Would you go narrower, Rich?
I'm going to make some bold predictions.
Yes, brilliant.
Which could have come back and bite me on the backside.
Of
but
course.
I think
I will definitely clip them
if
out.
If it's to survive.
No, that's not bold. That's ridiculous. Leeds have lost their last three games, including the FA Cup game. Bielsa has a history of running with a small squad.
And a young, you have some very youngsters.
Youngsters.
In there.
He works them hard. They play a very high-tempo game, not dissimilar to us. His teams have a history of coming down with the decorations after Christmas, which I think they might do.
The only team to truly outplay us this year, though, I think. I mean, you see all the games, Michael, but I think Leeds, on the games I've seen, most of the home games here and the Ipswich away, I think Leeds are the one team where we went away from there thinking we didn't deserve to get anything out of that at all.
I think the dynamic of the game didn't help because I thought the first 20 minutes were really even and then it was a couple of mistakes really, and from that point the way Leeds played just made it impossible really for Norwich. And I don't know if there was an inferiority complex that early in the season with how things were going, and they'll be much more confident this time around. So there we go. Are you done, Rich?
No, I think Leeds will fall away. That's okay, don't worry. I think they'll fall away. I think it's between us, West Brom and Sheffield United.
Oh,
I really do.
What a shout. We're definitely keeping that to you. Brilliant stuff, gents. That is the Championship. A couple of questions, if I may. John Rogers, question for Kevin. Who's the nicest person who sits in front of you at Carraway?
There's a bloke just down to my left who always gives me a firm handshake on arrival and a slap on the back on the way down. John, big shout out, mate, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, well, I wonder where
the family's well.
Yes,
it's not you, John.
I did wonder where that was going, but yeah, but big slap on the back. That's good. What else have we got on? Let's see if we've got anything that we haven't mentioned. Stevie Richards, in terms of the fans groups, have you mentioned the Barclay M project? We have now, and definitely, obviously, them along with Along Come Norwich are bang on indeed. And Simon Garner, we can't afford to keep playing the attractive football if we don't get promotion. We need Premier League to keep supporting our youth projects and the nature of, rather than being a club like Ipswich. I think I've read that right, Simon. Pretty much close enough. There we go. So West Brom await on Saturday, and there are some injuries to deal with, as well as hopefully some faces that are set to return. Here is the latest fitness picture as we know it. Get a full update with Daniel Farke on Friday at his pre-match press conference at Colney, which we will be at pinken.com for all the updates and lines out of that. And of course, it'd be great if Jamal Lewis and Alex Setti are both back in for Saturday. We've spoken a bit about how big this game is, and I thought your point on the mini league was bang on, Kevin. So why don't we nick on straight to your 11, shall we? Got them in front of you. Dan, which one do you want to look at first? Who should we go to first? Rich, take us through your 11. Okay. Are you happy with it?
I'm very happy with it, yeah. So I feel sorry for Ben Godfrey. Sorry, Ben, you're not in my 11. I saw some photographs that the club released on Twitter today of training, and Jamal Lewis and Tetti were both in full contact training. So I'm putting Lewis straight back in at left back. Closer and Zimmerman is centre backs. Aaron's the right back, obviously. Cruel in goal, of course. Tetti's back in. I did debate whether to put Godfrey in the defensive midfield role, but I went for Tribal because I think his passing's better. I've got an advanced three of Cantwell, Vrancic and Hernandez, and Timu up front.
So it's a big call really there, playing Tom instead of Kenny, I guess.
Do you know what? Because I didn't go to Portsmouth, it didn't even cross my mind.
you made your call now. Has to be said, Tom did do well, especially in the second half at Brentford. KP, let's have a look at yours then, shall we? Take us through this. I had a nice bit of fun with the formation. It's good.
Yeah, you did. Thank you. And I'm not entirely certain what the formation means, but it works for me. I mean, no surprises at the back, exactly as Richard has gone. If the boys are fit, that's that at the moment, with Grant being suspended. I think has to be your back five, with Alex in front there doing a brilliant job this season. The main point of contention for me is I've got carried away, having not been at the game, on Kenny McLean returning, just by a little element of surprise, perhaps. You know, they'll have done their homework on us. Of course they will. They'll have been watching us the past two or three games. Todd Cantwell, massive fan, big fan of Todd, but perhaps he's our joker who can come on and if necessary, just add a little bit of impetus, maybe early in the second half, in the way that Hernandez has done so effectively for most of this season. And I'm interested in what Daniel Farker, how he feels it's the best way to use Hernandez. Is it coming off the bench as big impact towards the end of the game, which has been very successful when you've got the full complement of players available? Or is it starting, and when this guy's on form, the way he runs at people, the way he pulls them apart and can do very effectively, strength on the ball, I think he's worth a start. Yeah. So just the one difference to yourself, Richard, with our Scotsman coming in for Todd. Controversial, but we'll see.
I love it. And Todd was very good as well, actually, in the second half against Portsmouth too. I've realised we haven't mentioned his hair. So like a two-word verdict on his hair?
Like yours.
His hair is like mine. Okay, I'll take that, I think. That's good. Better than it was, that would be my verdict, but there we go.
We just hope it doesn't have the Samson effect, because, of course, it was all in the hair. But he's all in his feet, mate. He's a great player.
He is indeed.
I'm glad the man bun's gone. Come on.
It's just the shin pads that need to be lifted, and the socks a little bit now. I mean, it's an interesting point with Todd Cantwell, isn't it? And we had a story on Pinken this morning as well. Clearly, Norwich want to give their youngsters incremental new contracts so that they keep progressing and also keep hungry. Todd is the only one of his age who hasn't done that, and Norwich are obviously wanting to. So there's obviously sticking points. It's delicate negotiations. Norwich have got an option on his contract for next year, so possibly they've got a bit of time, and as far as I know, the club are pretty relaxed on it all. What's the best way of playing this?
Going back to what I mentioned earlier about the togetherness of the squad, if someone's kicking up, then maybe it's best if they go. I wouldn't want to see him go. I'd like to think that it can be sorted out. But, the club's bigger than any one player, that old cliche.
Yeah, but I can only go on what I see, what I read, what you produce. Here is a local lad in every sense of the word. A local lad, his family are here, they're committed, they're Norfolk. I would think he will be wanting to this to work in a way that he's a Norwich City player.
Oh, yeah. I hope
going
so.
On from here. It's the old thing. Who's bending his ear? Who's looking after his interests? And if you do look after his interests, get it right. There can't be much of a gap between what he's looking for and what the club can do for him within the structure we have at this moment in time. So stay here, Todd.
Yeah, stay here, Todd, please.
Fans have spoken, Todd. Just a couple of quick messages then before we go. Canary Mark on Twitter, he asks, and KP, you kind of answered this, so Rich, I'll ask you a bit. Do City fans even want us to go up?
We had a brief conversation before we started, Kevin and I, about how, and as Kevin has mentioned, we prefer Championship football, and the Premiership can be, oh no, we're playing them this week, we're going to get stuffed, we must beat this team this week or we're down. But under the current regime, the way we are structured, I'm definitely want us to go out. I'm very intrigued to see how it would work.
And I would add to that, the other point we made is you look at many of the clubs in that division now, in the Premier League now, you know, there's no reason why we can't aspire to and achieve and outperform what many of those clubs, the Burnleys, the Bournemouths, you know, we can. And I believe, like you, with the structure of the club now, the people in charge now, we're doing it the right way. We're building the right way. We wouldn't get carried away and start making marquee signings with people from Holland who haven't proven themselves and, you know, turn out to...
Who could you mean?
Indeed. And I don't think he was totally to blame for that himself either. So I think we're in a better position. Everything's nicely in place. So I'm with you. Yeah. Yes, of course, we want to get promoted.
Of course, love
of course
it.
We do.
So just on Periscope now, let's have a couple of these messages. Sparks J says, any plans for another US trip? Can I put you in touch with someone at Sporting Kansas City or with the MLS? Yeah, absolutely. I'll head over. presumably you just mean me. we'll do the show from there. It'll be great. I don't know, but they've obviously got their link with Tampa, so you might have to speak to the Tampa guys in Norwich about that one. Let's hope so, anyway. Sound Chaser UK Strikers, what do you think about drafting Adam Ida into the squad? It's still a young man, still with a lot to prove, and I think although we've got these youngsters coming through, in reality, they are miles off breaking into the first team if they're not near the picture at the moment.
I think if he was ready, he'd be in there, as Farker has proven. So he obviously judges he's not quite ready. He's definitely one for the future.
Yep.
Maybe
timing.
Next year in
all
the Premier
timing.
League.
All about timing.
He'll need to go out on loan first, I reckon. So we will see if we get to that point. That's it. We are done. Thank you so much for all those messages. That is it from this week's Pink and Show. Remember, you can catch up with tonight's edition in full and all our superb Norwich City coverage and content on all our platforms, including the Pink and app, of course, as well. But first and foremost, pinken.com. I'll be at the Hawthorns on Saturday alongside Paddy Davitt and David Freezer. So make sure you keep tabs on all our feeds for all the build-up, team news, live and behind-the-scenes coverage, reaction and analysis. And if you see us around, please say hello. We will return next Wednesday once again at 6 p.m. live from the Woolpack on Golden Ball Street in the centre of Norwich with all the usual Canaries fun and games. So please join us then, be it in the flesh, come to the pub, or if not, you can join us online, of course, as well. In the meantime, a big thank you to our guests tonight, to Kevin and to Rich. Gents, what a pleasure.